What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. My jam around here, our jam, is to find the greatest thinkers in dentistry to help you think better, to improve your practice and your life. And I have back two regular guests, Dr. Christopher Mazzola and Dr. Charlie Ward. And this one's a great one. What happens when things aren't ideal in dentistry and you're trying to come up with a treatment plan? What if things are gray and they add some insight? Because it's not all black and white. This is powerful, so please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. The jam around here, my favorite jam, and you've heard this a lot, is I get the coolest people in all of dentistry, and we get to have them come on the podcast, and we get to ask them really great questions, or they ask us questions or help you think better about your practice and challenge the way you think. And we're going to do exactly that today with two recurring regular guests and great friends here. And we're going to be talking about a cool thing today. And they've actually got a new venture that we're going to be talking about. Got Dr. Charlie Ward and Dr. Chris Mazzola. Welcome back, fellas.
Thanks, Kurt. Be here. Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah. So I'm so excited to have you guys here. As always, I look up to you guys. You guys are regular guests here. And I love having you on because you always present something that challenges the way we think. And maybe I have, who wants to introduce the topic today? I love the topics.
Chris.
Maybe, Chris, you go first. How's that?
Yeah. So our one of the recurring themes for Charlie and I is, how are we going to help our colleagues find less stress and find more success in delivering comprehensive care to their patients? And the simplest way is, you know, how do we systematize the way we look at each patient from a treatment planning standpoint? And then how do we work through the systemization of and sequencing of that treatment plan that we've developed?
And so can I just introduce this to Charlie? Maybe you can speak to this, because we had a little bit of a chat before we hit the go button. The origin of this came as you guys were teaching at the Pankey Institute. And you had some people come up to you and go, well, how do you deal with the fact that it isn't so black and white? Tell us the rest of the story.
Yeah, I think Chris and I have had conversations over years of how can we use our experience over the last 15 plus years in dentistry to help make other people's lives easier. I mean, that's why we give back in teaching, especially at Pankey and through other ventures, because we've struggled through it. People helped us when we were struggling through it. How do we continue that process? And what we found recently, we were teaching a treatment planning course at the Pankey Institute that Chris and I just started. We did our first one a couple of weeks ago. It was awesome. We have another one kind of impromptu for next year. We were going to push it out, but we're going to make it happen again next year. And it really, we knew that people were struggling with not just the planning, but the sequencing of the treatment. It's like, hey, everyone knows this tooth needs a crown. Everyone would like to see veneers on this patient. Like, we can see what needs to be done. But what we found is a lot of dentists struggle in, how do I gather the data and then synthesize that into an actual plan step by step? Where do I start in this process? And what we found in kind of talking through that with these dentists is they were paralyzed in some of these cases where the patient presented, for instance, with an airway issue or a potential airway issue. It's like, well, the patient has an airway issue and I don't treat the airway issue myself, what do I do now? And there was a lot of what do I do now? And they were frozen. And the short of that, and our friend Gary DeWood was in the room for some of it, is you do the dentistry and you don't do anything that makes another condition worse. And you help advocate for that person to take care of that airway issue or that systemic issue that's contributing to this thing. But as a dentist, like, we have a responsibility to treat the patient for their dental needs. So let's, again, systematically look through a process, like Chris was saying, so that we can hopefully develop something that people can predictably execute, right? So there isn't like, oh, well, this is the one way that this has to be done. And if you don't treat this, then you can't treat the patient. Like, there's a lot of gray there. No one, you know, people see class two patients and they're like, well, this is a surgery case. Well, yes, if I'm shooting for ideal, the mandible might need to be advanced here. This is a jaw surgery, but like, I'm class two and I'm living a pretty good life right now. Like, people live as class twos. We don't die from being class two. So how do I manage that in the real world? Because not every person's going to go through surgery.
So, right. So Chris, let's propose a question to you. How do we manage that? And I want to go back to what you said, like, you know, in a world of all of these incredible institutions of CE, and, you know, you use the term utopic bubbles. I love that. Like, we're taught, like, ideal. And the truth of it is you said, are you willing to do, you know, maybe not like perfect dentistry, but less than ideal in the moment, given all these things? How did you say that? So help us with that.
I think one thing that I learned from a mentor a long time ago is that it is your duty to tell the patient the best course of treatment. And if your patient has the, you know, circumstances, temperaments, and objectives of going to ideal, whatever that is, following you down the yellow brick road of surgery, ortho, restorative dentistry, yeah, sure. Then, yeah, let's go. If they tell you, no, I'm not willing to do surgery, many dentists get paralyzed by the fact that they can't go with what is ideal. And just because it's not ideal doesn't mean that option number two isn't still going to be fantastic for that patient. And so, you know, Spear and Coyce and Panky and Dawson, they do a fantastic job of giving you frameworks of, you know, how to look at patients and build these restorative treatment plans and sequences. But oftentimes what we're seeing is that the dots don't get connected from course to course to course to course, or, you know, I forget what the percentage is, like, when you're sitting there for a, you know, a week long course, you only retain like 20% of it or something ridiculous, which I hope I'm smarter than that. Data tells me I'm not, but, you know, to think about that. And then as you go from, we'll say at Panky E1 to E2, we layer back in what E1 was in E2. I think it's either 40 or 60% of the information is repeated. And then the same thing from E2 to E3 and E3 to E4. And so the reason for that is to try to layer in that learning. So hopefully you catch what you missed from E1 to E2 and allow that knowledge to develop and help you, you know, just better critically think. In dentists are put at such a disadvantage because most undergrad degrees for dentistry are purely memorization. You get a bio degree and you're awesome at memorizing and then forgetting it 24 hours later after you take your test. What we do in developing treatment plans and systemization is purely critical thinking. And the best degrees for that are engineering degrees. And that's the way that they teach you that. And so really, we're a unique specialty of medicine that, you know, if you've got high blood pressure, you either need to lose weight, diet, exercise, or take a pill. Dentistry is much different than that. And so we have to help patients through years and years and years and decades of different types of dentistry, different providers, and whether it's neglect that they put on themselves or, quite frankly, some bad dentistry, right? Like, we have to figure out how we're going to put this puzzle back together. And that's where it can be crippling.
and take us through the crippling part of it. Is it, you know, I think we all suffer from a little comparative disease where we're like trying to take a look at our friends. You guys have mentioned that before. But how do I reconcile this puzzle, Charlie? How do I put this together in a less ideal world?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think what Chris and I have found is through our learning, we're planning for ideal, right? So we're doing the correct photography, we're collecting appropriate data, and we're sitting down and going through a system of planning that's taught at, you know, Spear and Pankey and Coyce. Like, everyone's using a very similar framework of how to go about planning these cases in a systematic way. Knowing that our goal is to establish an endpoint for the patient where we improve, you know, periodontal health, occlusal health, whatever the situation is that the patient presents with, and then meeting the patient where they are, right? That's where the critical thinking piece is how do I now adapt this system to a human being that's sitting across from me that has financial considerations and family considerations and anxiety and a history of bad dentistry. There's a lot of pieces to that puzzle. So, you know, what Chris and I have discussed and we've probably discussed with you too, Kirk, is, you know, how do we take some of the stress out of the process of getting to that point and then ultimately executing the dentistry? Because dealing with the patient is the most stressful part of it. Like, the engineering part, the preps, like, we can systematize all of those things. Where it becomes more gray is, how do I apply that to a human being? I mean, I always think about Dr. Pankey's rules of occlusion. They were like, well, why didn't you write a book? He's like, well, there's, you know, it's one page, and then you have to apply it to a human being. Like, that's the problem is that you have to apply it to a human being. The rules are easy to follow on an articulator.
Yeah.
You know?
And you didn't sign up for that in dental school, that the most unpredictable part of this was going to be, like, people always ask me, like, you have four kids. Like, how did you do this? I'm like, and then everybody always says, well, they're all so different. I'm like, I've heard that. And they are. Like, you do have to parent each kid differently. And that is like, I didn't want that. And so I'm forcing my old habits on the new kids. That's more of my issues. But like, you guys are dealing with people at larger scale. Like, it would be nice if people were all the same. And so how do you reconcile that in your brain, Chris? Like, do you just say to yourself, I'm going to do the best I can? And let me throw one more curveball in there, because I like challenging you guys. I think wouldn't you agree, like, as you grow and learn, you got to give yourself a little bit of grace in what's behind you. Would you agree? I'm sure there's some things that you look at that you did, you're like, oh my gosh, I did that, you know?
I will tell you, the systems that Charlie and I continue to build and evolve into how we look at treatment planning, they change monthly. And to sit there and look back on, I'm going to call it the crap I did 5 years ago, right? I don't even like showing Charlie the pictures of the stuff we looked at from 5 years ago. We already seen it together, right? And it's just, you do have to give yourself grace, because it is, you know, dentistry is one of those professions. My oral surgery professor, Dr. Lena Karam, never forget her. She said, the day you stop learning is the day you should retire. And whether it's just picking up a little pearl here or there, or you learn something about a patient, or you learn something about a staff member, right? You need to always be curious. I think that the curiosity factor for the art of learning, the art of treatment planning, the art of systemization of whatever part of your life, practice, personal, it will help just to give you more fulfillment. And you will see more success, which sounds crazy, through systemizing a lot of this stuff. And I firmly believe that. And that is just from, I mean, like, Coachman stuff. You want the ultimate in systemization? Like, dive into his stuff. And part of what the way that Charlie has evolved, our part of the systemization is is really from Christian and like the way that he looks at things. And so it's, I mean, you have to give yourself grace. Sometimes when we get having these conversations, in my mind, I remember having imposter syndrome, right? Of like, I've taken all these courses. I know what to do, how to do it. Am I doing it? You know, like the knowing is in the doing, I think is a very good quote. It's like, are we actually utilizing this information that we're learning? It's that whole edutainment part of things that we talk about. Yeah, it's the imposter system and the imposter syndrome in dentistry is real. And especially when, you know, you're kind of by yourself in a practice. I'm very fortunate. I have three other dentists that are my age that we have the same core values. So we continue to push each other in growth and health and professionalism in our team. And then I got best buddy in the world, Charlie. I mean, like we share the same core values. We're driven to continue to find the better, but sometimes you also can, you got to give yourself grace so you don't fall into the trap of looking at what you didn't do ideally.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, I want you to comment on the grace. And then I want you to pick up on what Chris said about systemization. If somebody's listening to this, what does that mean? Like when you say coachman systemization, like, you know, so.
Yeah, I'll start with the grace piece. And I think it is really, really important to understand that, like, we have to look back at where we've come from and nowhere no one else has. The hard part, which we've talked about in past episodes, is comparing what someone else is doing with different circumstances and experiences to what I'm doing is not fair to me. And there's plenty of people taking really nice photos of really beautiful things out there that I want to do. And I don't know what their experience was. I don't know what the patient experience was. I don't know what any of those things are, but it's very easy to feel less than seeing a lot of the things that are out there on social media and on big screens and lectures and those types of things. So the grace piece of it is that every single one of us is along a pathway, we hope, to excellence, right? With the people that we meet at courses, at Penke and everywhere else are there because they want to be better, just like us, right? And some of them are older than me and some of them are younger than me. And we're all at a certain point along that journey and we're not at the same point. So it's very difficult for them to see some of the stuff that I've done after 17 years. Like that case didn't happen without the 17 years of failure that I've had to that point and working those systems to a point that I feel like I can execute consistent, right? Because it wasn't like that 12 years ago where you know, my friend Lisa is right now. Like it was different. I was at the same place, but I'm 15 years ahead of that. You know, like it's just different. That's where the grace piece comes in, and not just for me, but for everyone else out there. Like the only appropriate thing to do is to turn back and look at those things that you did 5 years ago and be like, hey, I'm a lot better than I was 5 years ago. Right? That's it. That's the only bar. The systemization part of it is really what changed my dentistry. And I love Christian. I just think he does beautiful stuff and I love the way his brain works. And the way that he looks at cases and plans, to me, has been, he's simplified a planning process down to like its essential pieces, which is really like, I think, the goal of any discussion that we're having. What are the principles and concepts? And then how do I apply those to any system going forward? So, that part of it aside, it's anything that I'm doing, how can I systematize it in a way that provides me with the highest level of predictability? And it was really Chris and I have known each other for a little more than 5 years, probably. And we've probably been working that system since the second day we met. And it wasn't until then that I really felt like my dentistry got predictable. I felt like it was good, but now it's excellent and predictable because of the system, right? It's experience and systemization. So like Chris said, you know, I I take the same photos. I look at those photos the same way. I plan starting with the incisal edge position. Like I do all the stuff that we're supposed to do in a systematic way. And then I execute it in a systematic way. I mock the case up. I prep back from the mock-up. Like everything is systematized so that nothing gets missed. And it's all written down because all of the work is in the planning. Right. And that's really where I kind of took to Christian stuff is because, you know, the hard work is the setup. I used to tell this story about my dad. Like he was a contractor for many years, and he'd hire these high school guys to come work for him in the summertime when they were off of school. And they'd always give him a hard time because he'd get there early. Like they're all together, right? He gets there early and he spends the first like 2 hours setting up the job site. He was a roofer. So, you know, he's taking these kids and they're ripping shingles off and they're putting new roofs on houses and stuff. So, you know, he'd set up all the tarps and he'd carry everything up that he needed and make sure he had everything on the roof. Cause he's like, by the time I'm on the roof, I don't want to come down to get stuff from the truck. And they're like, Mr. Ward, like, are we going to rip this roof off or what? And he's like, guys, like all of the work that we're doing becomes efficient when everything is set up the way it needs to be set up. Yeah. Right. And that's really what Chris and I do in dentistry. It's all that upfront planning that people want to skip over because they want to get to the veneers. Right. But the veneers are really easy if you've planned it appropriately. And that's where the systems provide the success. I mean, that's kind of if we have a tagline, it's the systems provide the success. I mean, that's really the whole thing.
I know you believe that too, Kirk.
Yeah. 100%. You know. So, Chris, go a little bit further with the systems and its role in your development. Now, I'm going to leave space because you guys are actually teaching people these systems, but how important were the systems that Charlie talked about for your success and continual growth?
Sure. So, I mean, I'm going to look at it two ways. There's the business side of dentistry, which we all know as dentists, we are primarily clinicians that dabble in being CEOs and entrepreneurs and CFOs. You know, we're probably 95% living in that, you know, wet-handed dentistry and 5% in the dry-handed dentistry, which I really think it should be somewhere 80-20 if you're really, you know, trying to work yourself pretty well from the business side and you need help. You know, 4 years ago, post-COVID, we were just having a little bit of a culture struggle. And from a systemization standpoint of our expectations of our employees, I mean, the last time that we had an employee handout or handbook out was, I don't know, the first day I got there 12 years ago, right? So it's like, all right, we need to work through this. And so that's where you guys came in and really helped the systemization of the business side of our office. And, you know, developing a meeting rhythm and, you know, getting together for 2 hours every single week from a leadership team and also from the entire office, which is 30 of us. And, you know, people look at that time as, oh my gosh, how much does that cost you? And I will tell you, it's are you losing by not doing it? Right. So I think the systemization of that has been imperative. And then seeing how that has transformed my team and my practice, it's like, well, how is that going to transform my dentistry if I can do the same thing? And it's the same result. I mean, you put the effort in with learning how to take good photos. It is exceptionally challenging to treatment plan a course or to treatment plan a patient well without good photography. Exceptionally challenging. And so whether it's an iPhone, you can still get a pretty decent photo with an iPhone. You just have to be a certain distance away so you don't fish barrel the patient's face, right? Because it gets this weird curve to it. Or learning a DSLR, right? Or taking a photography course with whomever. Adamo's got a great one. Panky's got a great one that we teach. You need to learn how to take a photo. And once you have a photo, and once you take an intraoral scan, if you have a scanner, or you take impressions, maybe a CBCT or a panoramic x-ray, your patient doesn't have to be there for you to critically think through what the heck's happening. And I will tell you also carving out time, some white space for yourself in your week to sit there with your data and try to put something together from a treatment plan standpoint that's logical, where you can have a great conversation with your patient when they return for a review of findings. and or after they said yes, how you're going to systematize it to take the stress off of your assistants and your front desk on how the heck they're scheduling this appointment by appointment. Because not everything goes, you know, like one appointment, we're going to do everything, and the second appointment, we're going to deliver it, right? So, like, you're going to alleviate a lot of stress throughout the office by taking the time. And you know what a beautiful invention is? This little guy right here. An AI recorder.
So what? Tell us what that is. Show us.
This is limitless. There's no conflict of interest. Unfortunately, I don't own part of this company. I wish I did because it'd be sweet. But I mean, you talk into this thing and you say, hey, you know, build me a plan of attack for this patient. I want to know how many appointments I'm going to need based on what my conversation was. And it does it. Build me out my steps of appointment number 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you talk to it correctly, it builds it for you. And then you start to develop this rhythm of how this happens. And then your staff expects it. And then they're looking in the chart digitally or paper for this, right? And saying, all right, we've checked this. Now we're on appointment 4. They're not coming to me while I'm doing a hygiene check wondering what's next.
Yeah. That's very cool. What are you doing? I got to ask you, what are you doing that? Are you wearing that? Or are you doing that in between patients? Like, both. Let me in on the secret.
So any new patient that I have that enters the practice, I put that on and I just ask it certain questions based on how my interaction with that new patient went and what I wanted to develop from a note standpoint. It can develop a SOAP note. It can be a very detailed EMR, depending on how crazy the conversation got based on TMD and medical history issues, right? Or it can be simple as, hey, what should my next steps be based on the conversation? And it builds stuff out for you. There's all sorts of companies. Charlie and I use this Limitless one. He actually turned me on to it, and it's really helped me. I mean, you do a detailed note for a patient that's in your practice for 90 minutes where all you're doing is focusing on data. Trying to write that and remember all that, there's no one that can write a detailed note like what AI remembers or listen to.
Yeah. And I can't remember what had happened 10 minutes ago, but like, all right, we got to leave space for this because I know you got a musical you got to get to for one of your children. So that's the most important thing. I want you guys to do two things before you leave. Number one, I want you to give us some final thoughts on what we chatted about. And then after we do that, number two, I know people are going to want to learn more about what you're doing. Like, how do I learn more about this? Like, how can you help me? How do I learn about the systems you guys are teaching? So, Chris, you go first, because I know you're probably going to have to leave maybe before Charlie does.
Where to learn, I would say, depending on where you are in your CE journey, right? You got to start with some group somewhere, whether it's Kois, Spear, Panky, Dawson, someone that's, you know, carries some, I'm going to say validity, some weight, something that's been tried and true and tested for decades and decades and decades. And then after you've done that, stay curious and see like, all right, now how can I use this to help my patients have, you know, just better overall health? From what we do and the way that our system kind of works, we have a treatment planning consulting service called CASE. You can find us on Instagram. There'll be a link, I'm sure,
yes,
in the podcast dropdown. And yeah, that's exactly that. You know, we've got per half hour subscription, or we have bundles to where you get one or both of us, depending on the evening. We just hopped on one yesterday where both of us hopped on and surprised one of our awesome dentists. And they got both of our brains for that to help her through. It was actually helping work through her mother's case, which was kind of fun. So yeah, our goal is to help you develop a system and to not have to stay with us. Like we hope through, you know, most of the packages are like 12 conversations, that by that 12th one, you've got confidence to where you can say, hey, Charlie and Chris, I don't need you anymore. And I will be happy. Very, very happy, because that means there's growth.
That's awesome. All right, Charlie, your thoughts. Give us some final thoughts and then tell us more about it.
Yeah, I think I'll stick with the systems piece of it. And that's, you know, take your complex cases, because everyone wants to do, everyone's like, how do I do full mouth rehabilitations? How do I do full mouth rehabs? And that's a dangerous road to go down if you don't have great systems to execute those cases. It's going to be super stressful for you. It's going to be possibly disappointing for the patient, and you're going to get to the end and nobody's going to be happy. So, you know, develop systems for doing two veneers or four veneers or two crowns or four crowns. You know, like Chris said, what data are you collecting? What's your new patient experience? All those things that Kirk, you know, that you and ACT work on with practices. How are you going to collect data? How are you going to treatment plan? Like, start thinking about those things. And that's really where our sort of treatment planning business with Case came in. So it's on Instagram, CaseTXP. You can follow Chris and I on Instagram. We just repost all the stuff that Case throws out there. But the goal it was exactly what Chris said, is how do we provide support to dentists who just need someone to talk through a case with? And then how do we help people develop their own systems using the systems that we use and have been taught from Panky and Coyce and Spear and all the other places where you should be going to learn. And I hope you're going to learn. How can we show you a sort of a simple step-by-step with a photography template that we give you, all of the things, hopefully, that you can plug and play and keep and use for patients indefinitely. And then adjust as you see fit going forward. Because the goal isn't that you call us every time you have a case that needs to be treatment planned. It's how do we help you develop a system so you can move on and we can help somebody else. That would be my intention with the whole thing, that you know, we help develop people along the way that they can help more people.
Yeah.
That would be great.
I think the coolest part is you guys are just amazing givers to this profession. So I'm just so grateful. Number one, to have you guys on the podcast. Number two, to do what you do for this very noble profession in dentistry. So thank you guys for being on. I really appreciate both of you. Chris, I hope you have a great time at the musical tonight. Can't wait to hear about that. So I'm going to keep having you guys back again and again and again, no matter what. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. I'm going to encourage you to check out what they're doing. And if you're not taking notes, don't worry. This is how this works. We take notes for you. You can flip up to the show notes, just like Chris said, and you're going to see a link to what they do. Please reach out to them. We hear it all the time. People can't find mentors. I can't find mentors. These guys are willing to give their time, energy, and knowledge to help you create a better practice and better life. Take advantage of it. And the second thing, too, is why recreate the wheel? People are in front of you or out next to you doing so, and they're willing to share those thoughts. So make sure you check it out. It's way too hard to figure out anything on your own. And it's great to be in a group with great perspective of people having your back. So make sure you guys check that out. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.